Chicago Baseball Conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly continuing. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynowitz out at Guaranteed Rate Field Saturday, August 11th, which is my birthday. You can come celebrate Jim Thome Day.
How is it not Mark Kerman Day?
I got to get something going on here. That's when the White Sox take on the Cleveland Indians. First 20,000 fans to enter the ballpark will receive a Jim Thome Hall of Fame bobblehead presented by Wintrust. To purchase tickets, visit WhiteSox.com. Jason Benetti, White Sox TV, is with us right now. I guess you're on WGN tonight because you got the I can see the polo. I'm smart like that, Jason.
Or I wore the wrong shirt, which is always an option as well.
That's something I didn't consider. You would never wear the wrong shirt. You've never done that.
Saying never in that situation is a bad bet.
So we just played at the end of the before the news. Ed and DJ's call of C.B. Buckner last night. They didn't even consider that the runners were going to advance and you were going to have a run out of the play. I'm curious, what was going on in the TV booth?
Well, we went to our handy-dandy rule book, which is a nice tool to have,
yeah.
And found, as you guys did, I know, 506C7, which says a pitched ball lodges in the umpire's or catcher's mask or paraphernalia and remains out of play, runners advance one base. That's the rule that was applied, according to some folks in the Sox dugout who were privy to the discussions with the umpiring crew, and I would have two issues with the interpretation. Paraphernalia, I would think, means equipment, and that was kind of a hand capture by the umpire, C.B. Buckner. And then the other component is remains out of play. What is the definition of remains is the question I would have, because it was really a split second that it, quote, remained out of play. I would say that rule, and again, we're really fun at parties over in the TV booth when we're quoting rules, but I would say that the rule book doesn't anticipate that situation, and so to send the runner home actually is not in the spirit of that rule.
He was handling the Rawlings. It was like he was doing a magic trick.
Right, and then he let it go, and it was the three of diamonds.
Yes.
Essentially.
And Russell Martin said that the only reason he broke to the plate is because it looked like the catcher didn't know where the ball was.
Correct.
And, I think the last thing I thought was going to happen was that they would just stop the play. I watched so many football games where a guy will, intercept a pass or pick up a fumble, and they blow the play dead. I don't know why these referees, these umpires, don't let the play, play out and then discuss it.
I agree. I think more broadly we have a little bit more of an issue in baseball where the rules in this sport are, and I know there's the catch-no-catch rule in the NFL that gets a lot of flack, mm-hmm. and it's one of the top five Twitter conversations always going on in the United States, but other than that, the rules in this sport are a little bit more clandestine, a little bit more cloak and dagger than in other sports. And I think Major League Baseball could help itself out a couple of ways. Number one, when there's a replay review, make the announcement of what the rule is and how it was applied in the stadium like we do in football.
Right, if only there was a giant Jumbotron or something.
Right, where we could write out such things, hypothetically, or had a public address announcer who's basically been here with the stadium and could relay that. If we only had those tools. And then number two, I think in this circumstance, being a little bit more forthright with what the rule is that has been applied, if you're the umpiring crew, and not being defensive about it, but just going ahead and saying, here's the rule you all need to know as fans, because I think if we know the rules of the game, we're better fans. Here's the rule. Here's how it was applied. Maybe we got it wrong in this circumstance. I know there are a lot of umpires, and they get feedback on their game immediately after the game. I've flown on planes with umpires after games, not White Sox games, but after games nationally, and they're on the plane looking at their calls the night before. These guys take this very seriously. It's very important to them. Sometimes you get it wrong. You have to relay that to the baseball community so we all know the rules of the game.
You hit on a couple things that are of interest. Number one, let's just hit on what you said last. These guys take their jobs very seriously. C.B. Buckner's been in the game for a long, long time. I mean, And when you see a guy, now the White Sox lost last night on their own accord, had
nothing
to do with the umpires. I said that before. I want to say that again. However, in the ninth inning, they have pride in performance. They're trying to mount a rally. You have guys who are fighting for their livelihood, including Omar Narvaez, who's trying to have a good at bat. And you had one pitch that was called a strike that was up by his shoulders. It was nowhere close to a strike. And strike three, where he rung him up, was at least about 5 inches outside. And they showed CB smiling.
Yeah.
And I personally had never seen that. An umpire really like taking glee at ringing somebody up. It's not professional. You can't do that.
Here's what I would say about that, and it made me uncomfortable. What I'll say about that is, I would hope that any umpire watching that tape would say, and this is where the import lies, in the next time it happens, that can't happen. I would hope that any umpire watching that says, I need to control my emotions better because I need to be more ministerial than the competitors. If he did that, and I don't know, I haven't talked to him, I don't know that. If he did that, I understand. If he watched that and said, well, he was, if the sentence doesn't start with, I shouldn't have, he's taking it wrong.
Right.
And I don't know which he's done. But to me, there's no place for the umpire, even when leaned on all night long. The umpire's job, in a lot of ways, is to remain objective both in what he's seeing and emotionally. That's the goal of the job, and sometimes you're not as good at it as you'd like to be.
And they're all humans for the
rest. That's right. I say that with acknowledging these guys try very hard. They want to get it right. They absolutely do. I know they have regrets sometimes after games.
Right.
And so you kind of have to let them go ahead and make the adjustment for next time. But if a fan was sitting at home looking at that and saying what I said, which was wow, on the air, if you're saying that, that's a fair reaction as well. And I think umpires would have to agree to that too.
Yeah, no question.
Hold on a second. I'm on dictionary.com looking up ministerial.
Yeah.
One of the little boxes of cereal. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Pertaining to the ministry of religion. Well, this is fascinating. So tonight.
Fun at parties.
Yes, you are.
Over at the booth.
I can only imagine.
Punch bowl everywhere.
So we get Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Covey. We get Lopez, who seemed to be running out of gas this season. But tonight, Lucas Giolito is going, he's trending in the right direction. Three straight solid outings, 19 and two-thirds innings, his last few outings. ZRA is in the low twos. So you got to be feeling pretty good about Lucas Giolito, right, Jason?
Yeah, and I think that is the definition of a young pitching staff. What you said, Harry, it's, okay, so the beginning's really good, and then the second half isn't, and why? And then the beginning's not as great as what we saw at the end of last year, and now it is, and why? I don't think you're supposed to necessarily understand right now. This is the beginning of the arc for these guys, but there were some numbers leading into the last game that suggested fastball command for Giolito, if he knows where that's going and he's hitting his spots. The two starts before that start against the Angels, he had not allowed a hit on his four-seam fastball, which is extremely important because he was not spotting that early in the year by his own admission. He gives up only two hits on it against the Angels in another pretty good outing, and I think that suggests there's something sustainable there. I do.
On the other hand, Carlos Rondon is a monster. He is a beast from the left side.
Well, and he looks the part too, without the t-shirt and the hair. He's got the forest going on.
Very confident, Carlos Rondon.
Very confident enough to not wear a t-shirt. No, a couple starts ago, Stoney was talking about it. The changeup was like equal to his slider, which is scary. If that's the case, because his slider is a very good wipeout pitch. So, yeah, he looks, I know some folks have been writing about this, but he looks like he's got ace sort of stuff, at least to my eyes.
Jason Benetti, White Sox TV, with us here on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. You guys got to talk to Dylan Cease the other night. We're going to have him on after 4:30 here. I'm watching the interview. Holy intelligent Dylan Cease. I mean, you were lining him up with, and everything you threw at him, he was right there.
that kid, and I've talked to him in person 2-3 times, you know, over the last year.
Yeah.
He is really impressive, makeup wise, as the scouts say, right? Like, he's got good makeup.
Right.
Dad's a lawyer, I think.
Okay.
And just super analytical kid, like into yoga, yogi meditation,
yeah,
as he was talking about. But he's a really sharp, like, all the neurons are firing, and that suggests that the talent won't be ambushed for long in the big leagues. It suggests an ability to adjust that's higher level, which I think speaks long term to what he can do here.
That's an interesting way of putting it. The talent, well, it's like I'm learning to, that's interesting. The talent won't be ambushed, as in for just digesting that. You're saying that, hey, he may get here and he'll have to figure some stuff out, but he's smart enough that he'll figure out quick enough and you're going to see his talent come out. I feel like I needed to break that down for myself more than anybody else. Just want to get that out
there. Well, I think, you know, you get here and you get hit in the mouth,
yeah,
and you're just like, what do I do? And you, yeah, kind of freak out. Like, that happens in the big, yeah, we've seen it with guys this year, but he will know what's around the corner very quickly, I think.
Yeah.
You with us, Harry?
Yeah. I'm
He's
with
being
you.
Ministerial.
I'm being ministerial. David Wells ambushed his talent. He let diversions happen.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Dylan Cease seems very humble. You know, the guy's throwing 4 pitches and he doesn't want to take any credit for it. You know, he's saying, well, everybody throws 4 pitches my age, but not that effectively.
No.
He's got quite the repertoire. I would like to back up for a second to Monday night when, out of a million broadcasters, you were part of the Home Run Derby,
yeah,
but you weren't on the main stage, as we say. Can you explain from your perspective what happened that night and why doesn't ESPN do more of that?
So what happened last night is I was on a set with Bill Nye, the science guy, which is ridiculous. They did the second screen experience. It was on ESPN
right.
News. They did a StatCast-heavy Home Run Derby experience. So we had launch angles and exit velocities, but we also had a guy to distill it, Mike Petriello, who is wonderful and like lives and breathes this stuff on Twitter and on the web and in real life. And we kind of broke down what we were seeing, the athletic feats we were seeing, where it fits in context, but like how the weather affects the ball and whether or not the post-Home Run Derby slump is actually a real thing, that sort of stuff numerically. But also, we had a good time. I was not a huge Home Run Derby aficionado beforehand. I watched it, but I didn't really say I need to be there. The show that those guys put on and the energy in that ballpark with Bryce Harper was awesome. His dad got tight, started yanking pitches, like wanted to win it worse than Bryce by far. And then he started grooving him, and Bryce went off and running. But no, it was great fun. I appreciate you asking. But I do think, with the innovation tools baseball has, there's a place to have that sort of second screen and not force it to people who don't want to hear about it, but also have it there and available to have discussions about what the numbers say.
They've done it for the national championship game,
yep,
with different coaches and different perspectives. You know, I believe at some point MLB, you know, should look at that.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot to be said about changing the dynamic of how we watch sports. And I think the NBA is on the vanguard of this because of Adam Silver in large part. I mean, he has said, and I don't know that I subscribe completely to this, but he said a lot of young people watch the game as a video game. Why don't broadcasts look a little bit more like that? Now, I don't know that I agree with the, you know, the Fox puck track thing that we had back in the 90s,
oh, the
right?
Blue, yeah, well, the Blackhawks fans didn't need it. The puck's in our end, and Chelios has it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. The glow puck, or whatever they
right.
want to call it. But I think there's room for innovation in our game, and I don't think it will harm the game. I really don't. If you're very smart about it, I don't think it'll harm the game, whether it's the viewing experience or the rules or whatever it might be. I think last night showed that there are gaps in the rule book in every sport. And trying to fill them is one thing, but also being willing to change the rules in a game that has changed over years and years and years a lot of different ways. The rules have changed substantially over the course of time in baseball.
I just think it's fascinating where we're going. You've got all this information coming in right now. You've got the attention span of your standard viewer is 13 seconds.
What?
Right, exactly. And you're trying to get young people interested in the game. People are trying to get people to come to the game. Baseball is by far the best value of any of the professional sports. You can come to a Sox game for $5 on Sundays. You're not going to get that anywhere else. But you're also...
Four people, $49.
Right.
Four dogs, four sodas, four chips.
Sunday with parking, it's $30 for four. That's which is incredible. But my point is that there's so much going on that and then you're going to throw all the numbers in there, and will the new generation want that? But the video game point is interesting too. Like, maybe they do. I mean, who knows?
Well, I just think that we want numbers to make sense. The numbers should tell a story. We try to not give numbers without having a reason for it in some way, shape, or form. And if they tell a story of the person, then we're in better shape. But we have defensive metrics, so we appreciate somebody like, say, Bobby Grich before he leaves, you know, before he's done with the game, and then we say, oh, you know what? We probably should have been nicer to him. Oh, you know, Alan Trammell belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's surprising. Well, now we have those stats that we can actually, while they're playing, instead of like, oh, how could we have missed that? Now we have that.
It's the backup.
Right, both Grich and Trammell, three. And Bob Costas is getting the Ford Frick Award this weekend, maybe one day about 28 years from now. Jason Benetti.
You're on your way, sir.
You know, if I keep singing One Direction,
it's
probably not going to happen.
And Sticks and Stones.
Yeah.
I like it. Does he ever know anything about himself?
Sometimes he knows very specifically, and then other times we basically could ask his middle name, and he would say, oh, I'm not, I can't.
We greatly appreciate how willing you are to come on the show, and your awesome job always.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know why Major doesn't care for him.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I don't either.
It's just
he's right here, and he has punched me throughout this entire spot. It's not fair.
It's been violent. All right, Jason, have a great broadcast tonight.
Thanks.
Jason Benetti, White Sox TV, White Sox Weekly, continuing. Dylan Cease after 4:30, 720 WGN.